And now with some more Halloween, well, things in keeping with the spirit, I have Sharon Kennedy in the studios with us. Hello.
It's nice to be here, Walter. I've been enjoying your programming today.
Oh, thank you. I've been going through a lot of trouble. I'd like to, by the way, take a minute to thank everybody who's been calling in. I ran out of ideas hours ago, and just the listeners have been keeping things going. You're going to be at the Puppet Show Place Theater this evening?
Yes, Stories After Dark presents Halloween Tales for Adults tonight and tomorrow night at 8:30.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be, is anyone there with you? I notice you have...
Yes, Davis Bates is a storyteller from Western Mass, and he mm-hmm. will be telling stories along with me. And Tom Ziccarelli, who's here in the studio, will be playing synthesizers and guitar along with some of the stories.
I see. How long have you and Tom been together? This is the first I've seen a storyteller who travels with their own musician, or is this Tom traveling with his own storyteller?
Tom was in the very first Halloween show that we ever did at Stories After Dark. This is our third season now, I'm proud to say, and we're doing really well. People are coming and they're finding that they have a really great time listening to stories and hearing the music that we sort of weave in and out between the stories. And Tom, as I said, he did really spooky sounds on his synthesizers for our very first show two years ago.
I see. 2 years ago. How did you and Tom happen together and start?
Well, you see, I have
together?
This story called The 12 Horned Visitors, mm-hmm. and it's from Ireland. I was in Ireland for 2 months this summer collecting stories, and this 12 Horned Visitors is so spooky and so horrible that in my wild imagination as I was practicing in my living room, I kept thinking of what a synthesizer could do and how mm-hmm. even more ghastly and spooky this story could become. Mm-hmm. So I called Tom.
I see. And it's been wonderful ever since, I guess.
Well, wonderful might be one way of putting it.
Wonderfully spooky. Okay, do you have a story for us here?
Well, I think we'll start right off with the 12 Horned Visitors.
Okay.
We're only going to tell you a little bit of it, by the way. Just enough to get you interested in coming to the show tonight or tomorrow night. Except I must say one thing before we start. You better call soon because tickets are going unbelievably fast. 254-5035 is the number to call for Stories After Dark shows tonight and tomorrow night. Mother lived in a little cabin at the foot of County Tipperary in Ireland. Pegeen was her mother's pride and joy, and now as she had grown older, why, she was tall and slender and beautiful. She had long black hair cascading down over her shoulders, and Patrick Innes, a handsome, wealthy young farmer from the other side of the mountain, had asked Pegeen's hand in marriage. Oh, how perfect the old woman wanted that wedding to be. She wanted Pegeen to have the most beautiful wedding gown that anyone had ever seen. She wanted Pegeen's trousseau to be filled with hand-embroidered tablecloths and towels, hand-embroidered sheets and pillowcases. How would she get all of that work done in time? Well, each and every night before that wedding, the old woman sat up into the wee hours of the morning, sewing and sewing away. And now, this night, as Pegeen slept upstairs, the old woman sat in front of the last dying embers of her fire, sewing and sewing until her eyes were red and sore. Yes, who is it?
I am the witch of the one horn.
The old woman couldn't believe her ears. She didn't really know what she had heard, so she rushed to the door, and she looked out into the pitch blackness, and she could see nothing. So supposing that it must be a neighbor who had come to her for help, she opened the door.
And there stood a woman, 7 feet tall if she was an inch.
Clothed all in a black cloak from head to toe,
pushed past Piggy's mother, strode into that room,
sat down by the fire, picked up a pillowcase, and began to sew with quick but careful stitches. Piggy's mother looked at this strange visitor of hers, and for the first time, out of the corner of her eye, she could see that this woman had one short, curved horn growing out of the middle of her forehead. She also could see that this strange visitor of hers could sew 7 times faster than she could herself.
Yes, who is it?
No one answered, and the old woman, for some reason, rushed to that door, and she flung it open.
There stood another woman, clothed in a black cloak just like her sister witch, outlined against the moonlit sky.
Pushed the old woman out of the way, walked into that room, sat down by the fire, and began to sew upon the tablecloth.
Piggy's mother could do nothing at all except blindly sit down and pick up her sewing as if she were doing something.
She looked out of the corner of her eye, and the second witch had one short curved horn growing out of her forehead and another one growing out of her ear. The three of them sewed in silence now, until the silence was broken by the first witch.
Where are the women? Where are the... Yes, who is it? I'm coming.
And for some reason, Begain's mother rushed to that door, and she opened it, and she opened it, and she opened it, and she opened it 4 more times, and each time another woman dressed all in black pushed her out of the way, strode into that room, went over to the fire, sat down next to her sister witches, and began to sew. And each one of these witches had a horn growing out from yet another part of their face. Some had horns growing from their chin, and some from their cheeks, and some from the very tops of their heads. And as they sewed, Begin's mother thought to herself,
at least all the sewing is getting done. But I'm wondering, will they go when the work is finished? Or will there be evil committed here yet this night?
And then the first witch spoke one more time.
Where are the men? Where are the people? Yes. Oh, yes, I'm coming. Hold on just a minute.
And the old woman ran to that door, and she flung it open.
And there stood a man, 10 feet tall, dressed just like his sister witches, a black cloak covering everything except for his ghastly horns, pushed Piggy's mother out of the way, strode into the room, sat down by the fire next to his sister witches, and out from under his black cloak he pulled a small clay pipe. And he began to smoke. Yes, just a minute. Here, I'm coming.
The old woman ran to the door, and she flung it open. And she opened it, and she opened it, and she opened it 5 more times. And each time there was another wizard looming in her doorway, 10 feet tall, black against the moonlit sky. Each one shoved that old woman out of the way, walked into that room, sat down by the fire, pulled a clay pipe out from under their cloak and began to smoke. And as the wizard smoked, the witches sewed.
Well, that certainly whets my appetite for what comes next. I suppose the only way we find out is to be at the Puppet Showplace Theater this evening.
Yes, I think that is the only way, Walter. That is just to set the mood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's done so very well. You're doing, of course, all scary or spooky stories this evening and on Halloween.
That's true. Although I must say that Davis Bates, the other storyteller, doesn't like quite as gruesome stories as I do. He is telling a couple of ghost stories from his own family, as a matter of fact. But he's also going to tell a couple of funny Halloween stories just to give you all a break.
Oh, good. I don't want to have too intense an evening. Is this a kind of storytelling that you've always done, and Halloween is a wonderful opportunity? Or
well, I really do tell a lot of different kinds of stories besides scary stories. Mm-hmm. Stories After Dark has all different kinds of St. Patrick's Day shows and Valentine's Day shows, and I tell stories to children all the time, and believe me, I wouldn't be in too many schools if I told stories like that.
Yeah, do you have a favorite kind to tell? A favorite audience to speak to?
No, I don't have any favorite audience because I love telling to children and I love telling to adults. But mm-hmm. I have a specialty in Irish stories, and I've been collecting in this summer, as I think I mentioned, mm-hmm. for 2 months in Ireland. So tonight I will be sharing some of the stories from two specific storytellers from Ireland.
Uh-huh. Did you go to Ireland specifically to gather these stories?
Yes.
I see. And did you know when you would be leaving, or did you wait till you thought you'd collected enough and then...
The airline made me say when I would come back, mm-hmm. and my boyfriend was glad of that, too, because he didn't really think I'd ever come back. So I knew I was going for just about exactly 2 months, mm-hmm. and in that time, I was able to do much better than I ever thought I could. I met 22 storytellers, and I have a house filled with tapes at this moment waiting for me to listen and learn all the stories.
Mm. Do you think you'd have been there longer collecting stories if you hadn't had to go?
Well, I think really that now I need to be home mm-hmm. working on them. I've got enough material to keep me going for a very, very long time.
I see. Do you have any other stories you recently collected here prepared?
Would you like to hear another one?
Yes, I would.
Well, I think what we could do is Tom... in the show, besides playing synthesizer with me, plays guitar for some of Davis's stories.
Okay.
And he also just might set the mood for me to tell a story that I collected this summer in Ireland.
Okay.
I'd like to introduce to you, via the radio, Mr. Brud Petty from Doolin, County Clare.
Ah, the cures. Yes, I could tell you a bit about the cures. Well, the most famous healer of them all was Biddy Early. You've heard of Biddy Early, have you? She lived over in East Clare. I'll tell you how she first got the cures. It was the fairy changeling was in it. Ah, you know, they used to steal the human child out of the cradle, and they'd leave a withered old changeling in its place. Biddy Early was working away in the rich people's house, and she was wondering out loud if this is how it always would be with her, slaving away and working her fingers to the bone. The fairy changeling spoke to her from the cradle then, and he gave her her first cures, and he told her that's how she'd be making her living from then on. There was a man in our parish. He was building an addition onto his house, an extra room, you know. He was fit for to roof it. And his three children came down sick while the doctor was in and the doctor was out and could do nothing about it. And at long last, one of the neighbours, well, they said you should go to Biddy early, you know. So the poor man travelled day and night, and the next day he came to the neighbourhood and he asked one of the people where Biddy Early lived. And when he got to her house, wasn't she there waiting outside on the steps for him?
All right now, John, come in. I've got a good supper for you. Sit down, you're tired and you need something to eat.
Ah, she gave him a good feed, and after he was finished eating,
now listen to me, John. You go home now and knock those walls. You built your house on the western side. You built that addition onto the western side of your house. You should know better. I'm ashamed of you all together. That's the fairy's pathway. You'll go home now and you'll knock those walls or your children will be dead before this week is out.
Well, the man went home then. And he knocked down that whole addition to his house. And in a few days' time, weren't his children hale and hearty again? I knew another man. His name was McLean. He lived down in Kilshanny, and he got his power in a darker way. Ah, the priest was dead set against him, you know. Until the priest had his own cow, choking to death he was, and no one at all could help him. Ah, he went down to McLean himself then. He did, sure. He went down to McLean, and when he came home with a healthy animal, ah, there was nothing said against McLean from the pulpit after that. If you should go down to McLean's cabin in the middle of the night, his eyes would shine like a cat's. McLean had a charm for toothaches and everything, and his shoes would walk down the floor to him. He had that much power. And if you had a relative sick or dying over in America, he'd go to McLean and he would send over a piece of thread or any sort of a token. Ah, they'd lead a natural life after that. No doubt about it. That's true. McLean had a black book. 'Tis a priest's book. And to get the power of the devil out of it, you must turn your back to the altar. Isn't it an awful hard thing to do? I'll stop there now just because I think maybe in terms of time, I should. Is that true, Walter?
Well, we have time for a little more if you'd like to continue with that. I wanted to thank you, first off, for coming in. For those of you just tuning into the Coffee House, we're here with Sharon Kennedy, who is a storyteller, and you will be at the Puppet Showplace Theater this evening and tomorrow night at 8:30.
Yes, Davis Bates, Tom Ziccarelli, and myself will be weaving a web of horror tonight and tomorrow night at 8:30. This is Stories After Dark, and the phone number to call is 254-5035. And I really think that reservations are absolutely necessary because we have so many of them already.
All right. I'd like to leave then with either another story if you have one, or if you wish to continue with the one that you're doing now.
I'll just go on being Bread Petty. Bread Petty is one of the most wonderful people I've ever met in my life, and I'm very happy being him, so okay. I'll continue a little more. Have you heard of Pishogues? You have not? Ah, well, it's an Irish word. Pishogues.
It's the power of the Druids.
The power of the Druids. The old people used to cut off a dead man's hand, and they'd keep it in the house to get the power from it, you know. Well, the priest put an end to that. The priest demanded to see the corpse put into the coffin and the coffin sealed up so the people couldn't be cutting off the dead man's hand. Ah, there were strange things that time. The old people wouldn't cut the grass with a scythe after dark, you know, for fear they'd be killing or maiming some of those people who had recently died. You'd have to be holy to get into heaven, you know. I imagine you wouldn't go straight away, but for a while you'd wander about doing your penance here, in a sort of a purgatory. Ah, you could see them. If you looked under the priest's arm after sunset, you'd see them wandering behind him doing their penance, thick as the blades of grass. There were ghosts and fairies that time, haunted houses. You don't hear so much about those things now. Well, you'd be walking then. And the next fastest thing to come along was the bicycle. But now you'd be driving along in the motor car with all that sound of the engine and you thinking of nothing. Thinking of nothing and seeing nothing.